This podcast is a publication of the Engineering Management Institute, where we are committed to building professional development systems, including project management and people leadership programs that support the growth of engineers and their firms. Download our AE Industry Trends Report for insights on the Great Resignation, remote work productivity, and people-centric cultures. To get your copy, visit engineeringmanagementinstitute.org.
Welcome to this episode of the Structural Engineering Channel, a podcast focused on helping structural engineering professionals stay up to date on technical trends in the field and to help them succeed in their careers and lives. In this episode, Rachel and I will be talking with Cesar Mateus, structural project engineer at Solid Rock Structural Solutions and structural designer for Maze LLC, about the integration and impact of building information modeling, BIM, in structural engineering and how it can benefit your engineering projects. I'm your co-host Matt McArdle.
And I'm your co-host Rachel Holland.
Cesar, thanks for joining us. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey into structural engineering?
Yes, of course. I'm a graduated civil engineer from Latin America, specifically from Venezuela. I would say that growing up in Venezuela, I was always fascinated by the iconic buildings and bridges that we have out there. These are not tall buildings, but they are very irregular in shape. That lighted up my curiosity about how they were designed and built. Then through my undergrad studies, I focused more on structural engineering classes and design methodologies, you know. But on a side, I was going through all these self-learning process on advanced and emerging methodologies in our industry. That is how I found BIM, which is building information modeling. Then at that time, I thought it was a good idea to also start learning BIM. That way, I will be able to bring a different perspective, let's say, to every project. And at the same time, to have more chances of getting a job here in the U.S., when I moved to California around 3 years ago, I started working in a small residential firms, small custom home wood structures. But then my background in structural engineering and BIM helped me a lot to find a position with KPFF and then with Solid Rock in Newport Beach, which is my current employer.
Awesome. So you graduated when you were still down in Venezuela, and then you came up here to start working?
Correct, yeah. I got my bachelor in Venezuela, correct, yeah.
Okay. What inspired you to, you have a specialization in seismic resilience, so I'm curious what inspired you to specialize in that, and then also, how has your role at Solid Rock and KPFF2 helped to kind of shape your career?
Well, I will say there are many reasons, but one of them is my fascination with earthquake engineering, and the opportunity that this career brings to study the behavior of structures under seismic actions and develop innovative solutions. Back in Venezuela, I really wanted to contribute to public safety and mitigate the impact of natural disasters. And this idea of designing these seismic resistant structures and protecting life is one of my most powerful motivators. And I believe that engineers specializing in seismic resilience can make a difference by designing structures that are not only safe and durable, but also sustainable, environmentally sustainable, right? In terms of how my role at KPFF and Solid Rock helped me shape my career, I will say that working at a company that is actively involved in seismic resilience provide invaluable experience because we have the opportunity to apply our theoretical knowledge that we learn at school, at university. We can apply that knowledge to real challenges. And I would also say that the mentorship and guidance is really important. To have this supportive work environment is crucial in shaping a career in seismic resilience. In overall, a role at a company that prioritizes seismic resilience can provide a solid foundation for building a successful career in this field and offering the opportunity to make meaningful contributions to the industry and to the community and also the state.
Yeah. I'm curious, Venezuela sees some big earthquakes, right?
Yeah, we have some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you experience some, like, growing up that, like, where it helped to kind of, like, influence your desire to be more resilient? Like, what was that?
It was, like, a 4.5, and it was on a 25-story building, and I was at the 19th floor, something like that. And it was, like, really impressive how you feel the motion of the building and all that movement. I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. I don't want to say this is good, but it's an earthquake, you know? But it was really interesting to feel that behavior of all that energy.
And the building performed well.
Yeah.
It did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, the building performed well.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it feels like, I know some South American countries, they have pretty good seismic resilient design, since I know a lot of our codes come from some studies there too, or all over the world. But I feel that there's what the Andes are over there, right? Or there's a lot of seismic activity there that I guess in California, we don't get as much, even though we're there too.
Yeah.
So we get a lot of case studies from all over the world.
Yeah, I would say in Venezuela is similar to what we have in California. Not the high risk, but the period of return is not even close to Chile or other South American countries.
Mm.
It's more close to what we have here in California. It's closer.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you were saying, it's an important profession. And for me, knowing that, oh, there's actually engineers that make these buildings safe. It's not by accident.
Yeah.
It's not just they build it. And it's, oh, yeah. Oh, ooh, luckily it was safe. It was, no, there's some actual engineering going on behind those. So that's pretty cool. And you did mention that you utilize BIM in your different sorts of projects. Can you explain BIM, its impact on project coordination, visualization, data management? Just because I know some structural engineers, like for me, example, I mainly do calculations and then we'll have a separate role for BIM. So I'm not a BIM specialist, but I think you have kind of both those specialties. Could you explain that?
Yeah, we use BIM in our projects, not only as a tool to make drawings, but also as a digital platform to enhance project coordination, visualization, and data management through all the entire project lifecycle. BIM serves as a centralized platform for integrating structural design data with architectural and mechanical, electrical, plumbing system. This facilitates the coordination among all the disciplines. We use BIM to coordinate structural components with other building systems, ensuring proper alignment and minimizing clashes or conflicts during the design and construction of the structures. And I really like that BIM helps us to track changes, revisions, updates to the structural models and to the construction documents in real time, providing up-to-date information for decision-making at any time of the project. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of touched on that a little bit, but utilizing BIM obviously really helps to just get everybody on the same page, right? I feel like it's like just such a good tool for communication. But you mentioned some of these, but how has like the integration of it enhanced and streamlined that collaboration between all the different parties that are involved in that construction process?
Yeah, I will say that BIM information modeling has significantly enhanced collaboration in multiple ways, because BIM serves as a centralized platform for storing and sharing project information, including 3D models, specifications, schedules, and cost estimates. This facilitates the communication, collaboration among architects, engineers, contractors, and other project stakeholders, ensuring that everyone is working with the same up-to-date information. Also, being enhanced visualization and communication, because provides the stakeholders with advanced visualization tools such as a 3D model or renderings and animation, and this improves the communication and the understanding of the design intent. This helps to bridge the communication gap between a technical expert and a non-technical stakeholder. Also, integration of multidisciplinary data, because BIM facilitates the integration of multiple disciplines as I mentioned, architectural, mechanical, structural, and this enables the stakeholders to collaborate more effectively across disciplines and identify potential conflicts. And my favorite one is that, in my opinion, BIMs is being enhanced risk management because the stakeholders can identify and mitigate potential risks early in the design process. And I think this
versus during construction.
Correct. And this proactive approach to risk management helps to minimize delays, cause overruns, and improve project outcome. Yeah.
So at this point, are you using BIM for every single project that you guys do?
It depends on the client. Some clients prefer to use CAD. In the office, we change all our standards, detail libraries to BIM. We already moved forward with BIM. We made that migration already. But sometimes clients send the backgrounds in CAD files. So we try to encourage everyone to use BIM. And right now we have some owners requesting the use of a BIM software. It doesn't matter what software, but like a software where you can implement a BIM methodology.
Yeah, especially with, for me at least, with building coordination. Yeah, the coordination aspects when you mentioned that all the disciplines get their building information modeling in there with the once you see all of it come together in a 3D model, the electrical, plumbing, mechanical, architectural, sometimes it's like someone threw a bunch of laundry on the floor and everything is just scrambled together and everyone's clashing. It's good that it's in the model instead of out in the field.
Yeah.
Keeping up with that stuff, you mentioned BIM standards too. Could you explain a little bit more about why the BIM standards are so important?
One of the reasons is because they provide consistency and efficiency, because by having BIM standard, you can establish a consistent methodology or protocols or guidelines for creating, managing, and also changing digital information throughout the project lifecycle. By having a standardized workflow, companies can improve efficiency and reduce errors. Another one is interoperability and integration, because the BIM standards can help you to define common data formats, naming conventions, data exchange protocols. So, and this facilitates the collaboration among multidisciplinary teams and improve coordination of design, construction, and also operation activities. Also for collaboration and communication, BIM standards promote effective collaboration and communication among projects by defining roles, responsibilities, and expectation for information exchange and decision making. In overall,
so just to ask on that, like these are the standards that you set up within your company, but then everybody has their own model, right? That's for their particular thing, whether it's mechanical, plumbing, whatever it is. Like, is there ever issues when their standards are different than your standards? Or is it like each company has their standards and then when they get together, they just jive? Like, how does that work?
Well, sometimes there are issues. So that's what is really important, to have a coordination meeting before the project starts. So we align those standards. All of the stakeholders, the architects and the engineers should, you know, sit down and talk about, hey, we want to use this or we want to use that. I know that this is done by the project manager of each company or the BIM manager. But yeah, sometimes we start having those conflicts.
Okay, so you have, like, within your own company, you have your standards, and those are established, and that's obviously very important. And then separate from that, though, prior to a project coming up, you will have, like, kind of like a strategic meeting on how to set the standards for that project amongst all of the parties.
Yeah.
So what strategies do you recommend? Like, how does that kind of play out?
Yeah, it's important to, well, within your company, it's important to develop a project template. You don't need to reinvent the wheel every time a new project starts. Develop project standards. I would say this allows the staff to know what drawings, details, and notes are to be used for each project type. Develop a clear process for team collaboration. I think that a BIM execution plan helps communicate how the files need to be set up, standards and procedures to follow, and also contact information for those working on the project and the roles and responsibilities. Develop and share typical details within the company. We house these details in a shared folder, so they are easily accessible to a new project or to an existing project.
Okay, interesting.
So I did want to go into, so I've been involved in some of the BIM stuff too, where, yeah, there's just so much communication that goes on between all the disciplines, especially employing, because there's so much information. There's all that building information that goes into it. What are some strategies, or what's your process like for coordinating with all those different disciplines and team members that are in that BIM environment?
Yeah, it's important to, there are many strategies to achieve this. One of those is that you really need to establish clear communication channels, and it is important to define protocols for sharing project information, updates, and decision among the team members. This may regular project meetings, email communication, collaboration platform, or maybe using a BIM-specific communication tool. I would say that we need to encourage open communication and collaboration among the project members by creating like a culture that values transparency and a positive feedback. You can take advantage of BIM collaboration platform and cloud-based project management tool to facilitate real-time communication. It's important to offer training and support to project team members on the use of BIM tools and technologies. This helps to ensure that team members have the necessary skills and knowledge to effectively leverage BIM tools for project collaboration and communication. I believe that by fostering a collaborative project environment, teams can leverage diverse perspectives to optimize project outcomes and achieve common goals and shared goals.
Yeah, I think that's something we're always trying to achieve, even outside of BIM, right?
Yeah.
Shared goals, better communication. With BIM specifically, what are some common pitfalls in terms of using it in the structural engineering world? And do you have any tips on how to avoid those?
Yeah, one of them is the lack of a BIM execution plan. Sometimes project managers and BIM managers believe that a BIM execution plans are only for large-scale projects, and that's a common mistake. Every project should have a BIM execution plan. It doesn't matter if it's a very small plan, very basic plan, which every project should have. Another common pitfall is the high cost of BIM adoption. It depends. In large and medium-sized companies, it is simpler to align their equipment and resources with BIM, because those companies, you know, they have this ability to adapt. But in smaller businesses, it can be more challenging to dedicate a complete staff to the BIM project at once. What they can do instead is that they can hire and utilize the experience of an outside consultant, which will help better integrate BIM technologies into the company, while the other team members, you know, start that learning curve. Another pitfall will be using inappropriate hardware. It is always good to consult with an expert in advance to determine the hardware needs for our BIM workflow. I'm talking about CPU speed, RAM memory, graphic card, hard drive, as well as the hosting method. Sometimes it's better to build up a cloud server instead of using local files. I can think another pitfall, and it's very common, which is over-modeling. Avoid over-modeling every tiny detail that won't appear on the drawings and the construction documents. If we start modeling every fixtures and detail of the project, our file, the BIM file, will be bigger, the navigation speed will suffer, and the loading time will suffer. So avoid over modeling as much as you can. Just prioritize with the details that you need.
And where do you see BIM modeling in the next couple of years? Because there's all these advancements, especially in software.
Yeah.
What's your predictions on that?
Well, I believe that the role of BIM in the structural engineering will continue evolving rapidly, driven by these technological advancements, as you mentioned. One of the things that can help to shape the future of BIM in structural engineering is the integration of BIM with analysis and simulation tools. I know that there is a growing trend towards integrating BIM with finite element analysis softwares and CFD softwares to enable more accurate and comprehensive structural analysis and performance predictions. I can say that the expansion of BIM for infrastructure projects, such as bridges, tunnels, transportation systems, nowadays we see a lot of companies using BIM, but only for buildings. It'll be good to see that, and I think it's going to happen for infrastructure projects, because all these are really good opportunities that BIM offers to improve collaboration, coordination, and efficiency, not only on the design and construction, but also on the maintenance phase after the project is complete. I think that the future of BIM in structural engineering holds great promise for advancing collaboration. Innovation is important, and also sustainability in this construction industry. As technological advancements continue to reshape the way we design, build, and operate the structures, I think that BIM will play a central role in driving efficiency, productivity, and also quality across the entire project lifecycle, not only design, but the entire lifecycle of the project.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I think the construction industry has been slow to adapt the benefits that technology can offer, but I think that we're there right now. And like with everything, I think it's just going to be exponential for our field and how we can utilize it. So yeah. I know Simpson's definitely stepped into that, and I see how that's helping on that front. So it's pretty cool that you have you had a interest in that from the get-go, like kind of, you know, when you were still younger and in Venezuela, and like, you know, you kind of developed that, because I think that's something that can totally be utilized moving forward. You can be an expert in that field, and that's awesome. So one final question I have for you is what piece of advice would you offer to engineers who are just starting out in the field, or I mean, especially for those that are interested in leveraging their BIM technologies in their work? What would be your piece of advice for those folks?
I want to say that the field of engineering, particularly with the integration of BIM technologies, is constantly evolving. I would recommend to stay curious and committed to the lifelong learning. I will take advantage of training courses, workshops, webinars, professional development opportunities to deepen your understanding of BIM software applications and also the emerging industry trends. I think that by continuously expanding your knowledge and skill set, you will not only stay competitive in the young market, but also position yourself as a valuable asset to your team and the clients. Additionally, it's really important to seek out mentorship from experienced professionals in the field who can offer guidance and insights based on their own experiences. With BIM or in structural engineering, don't hesitate to ask questions, experiment with new techniques and technologies, and collaborate with colleagues to solve complex engineering challenges using BIM and software applications.
Yeah. Great advice.
Cesar, I had a follow-up question to that. So I guess some questions for former students about how to get a job in the U.S., since I know it's challenging. Did you have any advice for foreign students that want to work in the U.S., maybe some of the challenges that they'll experience? Obviously, you've gone through it, and better than me, better experience. So because I've heard some things where maybe it's best to go to university and then transfer here. What are your thoughts on that?
It's very important to be patient. Never quit on your dream, on your A. You need to have a goal. So be patient. The language barrier is important. You don't need a 10 out of 10 English to be able to get a job in a structural engineer or any other field. Just make sure that you have the enough knowledge to cross the barrier of the language. And also, it's really important to enroll in these committees of CEOs, for example, or go to the Simpson happy hours, or to meet people, to make connections. And then it's really important to have a resume that follows the U.S. standards, because I know that sometimes resumes can change. For example, in Latin America, we put a picture of ourselves in the resume. I know that here, we don't, the resume is, you don't need to put a picture of your photo. So make sure that your resume follows the standards for companies. Make sure to use keywords, and then to apply to different positions. The positions that, you know, fall within your knowledge and experience. But yeah, the resume is key, and then applying as much as you can to any position that you feel comfortable with. And then you will start growing up from there. If you go to a company, you like, you learn. If you feel good, you stay, then you see opportunities out there. Well, discuss that with the PICs or your project manager to see your opportunities in that company. And if you see something that is not aligned with your dreams or goals, well, you can always, you know, move forward. Of course, being respectful with the company that you are working now, but then you can, you know, make your way to your goal.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks so much for those tips, Cesar, and for joining us. That was great.
No, thank you guys for having me. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you enjoyed the episode today. We would love to hear your feedback, comments, and or questions. To leave them, please visit structuralengineeringchannel.com. There you'll find a summary of the key points discussed in today's episode, as well as any links to any of the resources or websites mentioned during the episode. Don't forget to subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, we wish you the best in all of your structural engineering endeavors.